Hi, this is Harlem, and this is episode number 35 of Fresh Ubuntu. Thank you for joining me. It is summer here, where I'm at. The sun is quite nice. The skies are blue. Temperatures are getting higher. It hasn't rained in, I'd say a few days at least, which is probably why I haven't been doing very many episodes lately, and I'd just like to apologize for that. In any event, I am here, and I will try to do as many as I possibly can during the summer. With that in mind, I just want to say it is beautiful out here. We're all wearing shorts and t-shirts, and something very liberating about wearing shorts and t-shirt, and it's really quite a nice open source kind of feeling, I suppose. Anyway, before I get too off topic, today's episode is going to show you a new package that I've been playing around with, a few news items that I want to cover before we get to our main segment, which I will talk about packages that they left out of the plain vanilla installation of Ubuntu. I have a new command line command this week. Shortly after that, we'll wrap it up. So anyway, thank you for joining me, and be back shortly after this. All right, this week's package is a package that I have been playing around with for the past couple of weeks now, and it's called Opera. It is a web browser. I used to use Opera way back when it was in, when it was free before they started charging for the browser. But in any event, I have just picked up a copy of the package for Linux, installed it the other day. I may start using this particular browser a little more often, as I'm impressed with some of the features. Now, I've only been using it for a little bit, and for the most part, I think the most impressive feature that is apparent to me is the little front page speed dial feature. And what the speed dial is it'll give you little thumbnails of particular sites that you want to quote-unquote bookmark, in this case speed dial. It'll give you thumbnails of sites that you visit most often or want to program into the speed dial. And for instance, on my speed dial, I have freshubuntu.org, freshubuntu.com, tipshack.com. I have my NetVibes account on there, Reddit, Dig, and a few other things, couple of other blogs that I like to read. And it'll give me a thumbnail, and I pretty much just click on the thumbnail, and it will take me directly to that site. Really neat little feature. Now, I know that if you're my age, you've been around computers for maybe 10 or 15 years, 20 years, possibly. You remember when Opera came out. It used to be a freeware thing before. It was way before. It was way before it was around the time of Netscape. Their browser and Internet Explorer was starting to get up and running. And anyway, I used Opera because, you know, it was free, and of course I didn't have a lot of money at that time. And you know, it was light, it was fast, it was a lot of things, and I liked it back then. And then suddenly they started charging for it. It was nominal. I think they started charging about $10 for it, or something like that. I said, well, you know, these other guys are giving away their browsers. And back then I was using Windows quite a bit. And so their browser, Internet Explorer, was really nice. It was fast. It was light, very lightweight. I think it was, you know, less than a meg, the total application. So I went away from Opera. They continued to develop it, and now they've come up with, for Linux, Opera version 9. And it is, once again, apparently open source, or at least it's free. And I really do like some of the features on here. It is a little bit slow on my laptop. Again, I think it takes time to load up the pages. You know, it could be due to bandwidth. Of course, I probably haven't got it configured correctly. It may still be using IPv6 inherently, but I don't know how to change that yet. So I've been playing around with Opera. I like a lot of the features. A lot of the features are similar to what Firefox offers. And lately, Firefox has been getting real slow. And it's been slow to load. You know, it's been slow to pop up in Ubuntu, in Feisty. I don't know if it's the version it needs to get updated or what. In any event, I've been using Opera quite a bit lately. It's something to at least give it a try. As these browsers continue to get better, hopefully they don't go the way of this bloatware thing that we saw in the mid-90s, you know, with Netscape Communicator and even Internet Explorer started getting bloated. Hopefully Firefox and Opera continue to be these lightweight type of browsers. And so I've been using Opera, and that is the package that I'm highlighting this week, and I hope you give it a try. Let me know how you like it. I'm beside myself, I'm looking in. I just don't know how to be again. All the world seems like it's closing in. All right, and now it is time for the news. And this week we have the release of Gutsy Gibbon, Ubuntu 7.10, Tribe 1. And it's an alpha release, so don't install it on a production machine. Final versions will be released in October 2007. Some quick things about Gutsy Gibbon. If you are considering upgrading to the alpha release of Gutsy Gibbon and want to give it a try, make sure you have your Linux meta package installed before you upgrade from Feisty. It has GNOME 2.1, 9.2. It will be released with the kernel 2.6.22-6.13. In any event, you can read more about Gutsy Gibbon Tribe 1 at www.ubuntu.com/testing/tribe1. And our second item is this neat little interface I saw on the internet. I saw this on Dig. It's called Wubuntu, W-U-B-U-N-T-U. And apparently what it is the Ubuntu interface on the internet in your browser. That is at wubuntu.wejewel.net. Suppose you just log in as a guest, and voila, you're in to the Ubuntu interface on the internet as a web page. Very interesting. So if you are wondering about Ubuntu and what it looks like, check out this site. All the sites that I mentioned and the links will be on freshubuntu.org or freshubuntu.com. And just go to the website and check out the links on the show notes. And our last item for today is, as you may well know, Compiz and Beryl have been separated for a time now and have since decided to merge. And we're beginning to see some activity in that merger with the advent of the new forum for both the Beryl-Compiz merger. That forum is at www.opencompositing.org. You can check it out. Hopefully we will see more about this, and look forward to this little merger, and it should make development a little bit easier for a lot of people and make choices less confusing. So check it out. Look forward to seeing more from this merger. That about does it for the news this week. Thank you for joining me, and I'll be right back with the main segment coming up in a short moment. Bye-bye. All right, and now for our main segment. I'm going to talk about packages that they left out of Ubuntu, and I kind of wish that they didn't. And I kind of wish that they had included it in the plain vanilla installation of Ubuntu. And let's just get right to it. I think the very first thing I would have put into Ubuntu is Yawquake. And for those of you who don't know what Yawquake is a terminal. It's a terminal program. And it replaces the can replace the terminal program in Ubuntu. And Yawquake is, they say, is compatible with the Kubuntu or KDE desktop, but actually you can use it in Ubuntu under GNOME, and works just fine. What Yawquake is a terminal program, and you can hide it or call it up by simply pressing F12, I believe, and it drops down, and which is what they call an overhead display. I don't know if many of you remember the old first-person shooters used to have those heads-up displays that you could call up and down. This is sort of the same thing. Yawquake, you press F12. I think it's F12. I'm not sure. It could be F11. But in any event, you press one of the function keys, it will drop down for you instead of having to go through your applications menu and into the accessories menu and then pulling up your terminal. You can actually write a script where Yawquake can be loaded at boot up. So Yawquake, I wish they had included that. Another one is, I think, VLC. VLC is a nice little lightweight music player, and it also does many other things to it, but it plays music, it plays movies and videos, and it will, depending on your dependencies, it can transcribe files from one format to another, really quick and simple. Another little lightweight media player that is sort of like Winamp in Windows is XMMS. They could have included that as well, too. Both of those. And perhaps this other program is, I think, much more usable. However, it's a little bit larger. Ubuntu includes Rhythmbox as as their media center type of application, a lot like Windows Media Player. However, I think the consensus among Linux people and specifically people who use Kubuntu is that Amarok is perhaps the media player of choice when it comes to an alternative application to Windows Media Player or even iTunes. Amarok has the ability to plug into sites like Jamendo, which is a free music site. I would like to have seen all three of those on a plain vanilla installation of Ubuntu. Let's see. Let's go on further. Pidgin. It used to be called Game, G-A-I-M, and for some odd reason, AOL insisted that they change their name. So it is now called Pidgin. So I guess this is sort of a kind of a trick package. Yes, it should be installed, but yes, it was installed because it used to be called Game, which is installed in Ubuntu. Look for perhaps Pidgin in upcoming releases, and we'll talk about another package that I think everybody needs nowadays. It's an FTP program, and there are two things that you could use, GFTP or FileZilla. And lately, I have been using FileZilla, though I have used GFTP also. Now, the thing with GFTP is that it is a little bit unstable on Ubuntu, and it'll crash suddenly depending on what you're doing on your FTP server. Perhaps if you're deleting files and you're deleting too many of them, you may crash GFTP. But I have not experienced any of that in FileZilla. Of course, FileZilla is cross-platform, meaning that there's a Windows program associated with it, and I believe that there's a Mac operating system version as well. FileZilla has been very, very good, very stable in Linux. So I think I'm switching over to FileZilla. It is, I believe, in the repositories. That's where I got it. So it's fairly easy to use Synaptic or the apt-get installation procedure. Got to have a good FTP program nowadays. It's the internet age. You know, I have an FTP server, or at least I use FTP to, you know, run my websites and maintain them, et cetera, et cetera. So everybody could use one in any event. Let's go on to the next thing. I think Conqueror would be a great addition too. Now, Conqueror is a do-it-all kind of program in the KDE Kubuntu flavor. It can act as a browser. It can act as a file manager. It can act as an FTP program. So many things that it can do, and you can use it in Ubuntu. And lately, I have been using that as well. I've been trying out all these different ways to FTP file manage. It may be a little bit slow in Ubuntu, and that would be the only thing prohibiting me from using it. But, you know, in any event, I think it's a well-made application, well-rounded application, and can do so many things with it. You know, it sort of reminds me of the Explorer in Windows. For that matter, let's talk about Windows for one thing. If you are coming from the Windows camp and you're trying Ubuntu and all that kind of thing, you might consider trying Kubuntu, which is, I think, has a few more parallels than Ubuntu does. So give that some thought, consider it, and you know, just a little bit of advice and my own personal opinion as well. Let's carry on. Let's see. I think Audacity ought to be included in Ubuntu. It's a great piece of software. You can make ringtones out of it. You can edit music with it. You can edit sound files. It's one of those, you know, utilities that, you know, nice to have around when you need it, instead of having to download it and install it, and et cetera, et cetera. One thing that they might want to include along with Audacity, lame codecs that allow you to record in MP3. Audacity will also encode in OGG as well. Much, much, much better codec. And you'll be pleased with it much more. And I'm hoping as well that the OGG format will pick up steam, because I have listened to both the MP3 version of lots of audio files and the OGG version of them, and there is a slight difference. It appears a little more richer in the OGG format. So just a couple of more that I think would be really nice to include, because I want them. And because I do a lot of work on the internet, on websites, and you know, do a little web development on the side, I would include also XAMPP, which is sort of a development environment, and it'll give you Apache, MySQL, PHP, Perl environment, not a for the internet environment, but sort of a pre-production environment where you can, you know, do practice runs of certain CMSs or websites that you are trying to put together. And it's a good way to get good what you see, what you get kind of feeling before you send it out to the World Wide Web. Also with that, Aptana, APTANA, I've been using that, again, a development environment with a built-in FTP program with it. You can easily maintain websites with Aptana, make small little changes, editing to various files on your file server, and quickly see those changes without having to use an FTP program and pulling up a text editor. And for that matter, it saves a lot of time and a lot of hassle too. So those last two are my personal opinions. But the first ones before that were, I think, ought to be included. I'm sure there are so much more out there. We could make this list go on and on and on. But And if you do have any suggestions, please, if you do have any suggestions of packages that should be included, you can, of course, email me at freshubuntu@gmail.com, or you can leave a message on my blog at freshubuntu.org or at freshubuntu.com. And that music indicates that it's time for the command line command of the week. And this week's command line command is CD Paranoia. CD Paranoia is a command line command that retrieves audio tracks from CDDA capable CD-ROM drives. The data can then be saved to a file or directed to standard output in WAV, AIFF, AIFF-C, or RAW format. Most ATAPI and SCSI drives and several proprietary CD-ROM drive makes are supported. CD Paranoia can determine the target drive is CDDA capable as well. And in addition to simple reading, CD Paranoia adds extra robust data verification, synchronization, error handling, and scratch reconstruction capability. So, the perhaps most simplest way to invoke CD Paranoia is just to drop a CD in your CD-ROM drive and pull up your terminal and issue the CD Paranoia --B. What this does, it will begin to rip your CD and save them in WAV format to your home directory. And in any event, it will save it as a WAV format, and you will have to then take another package to either re-encode them in OGG or MP3 format. In any event, if you are in a pinch and would like to just rip a CD real quick in WAV format, you can take that and use CD Paranoia. Of course, you can also do it in SoundJuicer as well, which is a graphical user, a GUI-based CD ripper. But what's the fun in that? You can use your terminal and use CD Paranoia. All right, that is the command line command of the week this week. And thank you for joining me. Hope you have a chance to use this one. I will have pictures of the output and the type of files that it saves it in on the show notes at freshubuntu.org or freshubuntu.com. All right, that's going to do it this week for Fresh Ubuntu. Thank you for joining me. Before I leave, I just want to let you know that there were a couple of submissions on TipShack that caught my eye. Somebody submitted the top 8 Linux games of 2007, and I got a chance to look at it. Some really interesting games. My thought is, if you have 8, why not get a couple more? You can have a top 10 games of 2007. Maybe he's waiting until the end of the year to give you the rest of them. Take a look at that. Well, I submitted something that Zubuntu 7.10 Tribe 1 was released the other day. And I am thinking lately that I'm going to switch over to Zubuntu on my laptop. My laptop is getting a little bit old, and it just not the same as it was when I first installed Ubuntu on here. And my first Ubuntu version I put on here was 6.06. And it was pretty nimble back then, and it's not as nimble anymore. So I'm thinking I'm going to switch over to Zubuntu and give that a shot. And this last week, somebody submitted the next issue of Full Circle magazine, issue number 1. That was submitted the other day. Lots of cool stuff. Myth Ubuntu was submitted by a friend of the podcast that was quite popular. Anyway, if you have time to check it out, check out tipshack.com, TIPSHACK. That is going to do it for me this week. And let's see. Well, you can email me at freshubuntu@gmail.com. You can get the show notes at freshubuntu.com or freshubuntu.org. One last bit of advice to all the new Ubuntu users. I hope you haven't gotten bit by any of these bugs lately. These update bugs I'm talking about. You know, be warned that sometimes these updates, if you get them too early, they could mangle your system. Things might not work properly. For instance, I downloaded a couple of kernel updates in the past couple of weeks and, you know, have been having problems with sound, especially on my dual boot system. Not so much on my laptop because that's all that's on there, but when I'm dual booting, I'll lose sound on Ubuntu when I boot up. It's being fixed. I have no problem that they'll issue a fix. And it could be just a weird thing with dual booting as well. So just be careful when applying updates. You might want to wait a week or two and check out the forums to see what they say about those updates. If there is any news, on the other hand, if there isn't any news, then it's probably okay to update. Things such as kernels, Linux kernels, the packages are probably okay to, you know, packages such as Firefox, if there's an update on Firefox, or packages that you use, everyday normal packages that you use, probably okay to update. But those things that require root access, things such as Linux kernels and that kind of thing, you might want to wait a little bit. You never know. You never know. So just be careful. You've been warned. And in any event, that's going to do it this week. My name is Harlan. Thank you for joining me. This is the Fresh Ubuntu podcast. Don't forget, the show notes are at freshubuntu.com, freshubuntu, freshubuntu.org. The music was provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network and IOTA PromoNet. I will speak with you once again very soon, hopefully sooner than the last time, and hope you have a great rest of your week. Goodbye now.